Louder. Can you just go louder? It's as loud as it goes. We have some restrictions here. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jadabharat, text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aham Pura Bharato Nama Raja Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangabanda Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamano Mrigo Bhavam Mriga Sangha Dattataha. Aham Pura Bharata Namaraja. Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangha Bandha. Aradhanam Aradhanam Bhagavata Hiham Ihamano. Mrigo Bhavam Mriga Sangha Dattartha. Aham Pura Bharata Namaraja. Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangha Bandha. Aradhanam Bhagavato Ihamano. Mrigo Bhavam Mriga Sangha Dattartha. Aham Pura Bharata Namaraja. Vimukta Drishta Shruta Sangha Bandha. Aradhanam Bhagavata Ihamano. Mrigo Bhavam Mriga Sangha Dattartha. Ladies. In my previous birth, Bharatana Maharaja, a king named Maharaj Bharat, Vimukta, liberated from, Drishta Shruta, by experiencing personally, through direct association, or by getting knowledge from the Vedas. Sangha Bandha, bondage by association. Aradhanam, the worship. Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. Ihamana,
always performing.
Mrigaha, abhavam,
I became a deer.
Mrigasangat,
because of my intimate association with the deer.
Hata artha,
having neglected the regulative principles in the discharge of devotional service.
Translation. In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharata. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience. And through indirect experience, I received understanding from the Vedas. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became very affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, in my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer. Purport. The incident herein described is very significant. In a previous verse it is stated, Vina Mahat Padam Rajo Bhishekam. One cannot attain perfection without smearing the dust of the lotus feet of an exalted devotee on his head. If one always follows the orders of the spiritual master, there's no question of falling down. As soon as a disciple tries to overtake his spiritual master and becomes ambitious to occupy his post, he immediately falls down. Yasha prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasha prasadan nagati gutopi. If the spiritual master is considered an ordinary man, the disciple surely loses his chance to advance further. Despite a very rigid life in devotional service, Bharat Maharaj did not consult a spiritual master when he became overly attached to a deer. Consequently, he became strongly attached to the deer, and forgetting his spiritual routine, he fell down. Translation. In a previous birth, I was known as Maharaj Bharat. I attained perfection by becoming completely detached from material activities through direct experience. And through indirect experience, I received understanding from the Veda. I was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, but due to my misfortune, I became very affectionate to a small deer, so much so that I neglected my spiritual duties. Due to my deep affection for the deer, my next life, I had to accept the body of a deer. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginangina Shalakaya Chakshunim Militam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Om Om Him Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hatika Kesha Kajalad Padakalochana Badwarakana Kasparsa Devasingha Namastate Ugram Viram Mahavishnu, Dvalantam Sharvato Mukam, Nishringam Vishanam Bhadram, Mritya Mrityam Namamiham. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jatabharat is recounting his previous birth as Bharat Maharaj. The life of Bharat Maharaj is actually very instructive for all aspiring devotees, because from his life we can understand, we can appreciate the result of deviating from the path of devotional service. It is the earnest prayer of every aspiring transcendentalist that he does not deviate from the path of Krishna consciousness, and if at all possible, by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, makes it back home, back to Godhead in one lifetime. But it is possible to deviate because we have seen from the histories given in Srimad Bhagavatam of great devotees like Bharat Maharaj, who slipped from the path of devotional service. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada has compared Krishna consciousness to shaving. There are many analogies which are given in Vedic scriptures, and Srila Prabhupada sometimes coined his own analogies, which brought the philosophical point home and made it very clear for his devotees. I think this is one that Srila Prabhupada coined himself, the example of shaving. That if one is very careful when shaving, he can get a good shave. But if he's just inattentive for a moment, even just a slight moment, then the risk is that one will get a bloody cheek. Of course, an experienced shaver rarely gets a bloody cheek. And so it is also rare that an advanced devotee like Bharat Maharaj falls down. We can appreciate that a neophyte devotee who has so many material desires in the heart and may be weak in his spiritual practices can fall from the path of devotional service. But it's rare that an advanced devotee like Bharat Maharaj may fall from the path. After all, Bharat Maharaj was situated in Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti is the stage just prior to Prema Bhakti, where one experiences actually ecstatic symptoms of love of God fully. On the stage of Bhava Bhakti, or rather Prema Bhakti, never falls down. But it's also surprising that one on the stage of Bhava Bhakti would fall down so low that he would become a dumb animal like a deer. So it appears that it's possible to fall from any stage prior to Prema Bhakti. Because only in Prema Bhakti are all material desires, both gross and subtle, completely removed from the heart. Fall down, what does fall down mean? Fall down means one goes back to one's... To fall down means to go backwards. So to fall down means one goes back to what? One's previous activities. Or is to take up one's material desires. When Srila Satsarupa Maharaj took sannyas, Prabhupada warned him. Because until one comes to the stage of Prema Bhakti, the warning is there. So he warned him, because sannyas means literally to give up all material activities and hopefully material desires. So he warned him. He gave him two instructions at his sannyas ceremony. He said, never look back and think that you've left anything important behind. And number two, never look at the position of the material sense enjoyers and envy them, thinking that they're happy. So this is, of course, this was an instruction to one of his sannyasi disciples, but actually it's good for all of us because, in essence, we're all trying to give up material attachment altogether and become completely attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is a relative instruction to all transcendentalists. Never look back and think that you have left anything important behind by becoming a devotee. And never envy the position of the materialistic sense enjoyers. But know that in Krishna consciousness you have everything and you have the highest happiness, especially through chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So, to fall down means to go back to one's previous activities. So one can go back at any stage, it appears, even from the stage of bhava. I recently read, again, the story of another great devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. It's very interesting to note that after Lord Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, he was sitting on the throne. And he was still very angry. His anger did not subside even after killing the demon Hiranyakashipu. He was also angry at the demigods because they didn't come to assist Prahlad Maharaj, because they didn't have full faith in the Lord. They were not fearless. So Lord Nrisimhadev was still very angry. So Lord Brahma pushed forward Prahlad Maharaj to pacify the Lord because He was pure devotee. But it's mentioned in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Prahlad Maharaj came forward, Lord Nrsimhadev put his lotus paw, because he's half man, half lion, he put his lotus paw on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, and Bhagavatam says at that point, Prahlad Maharaj became freed of all material contamination. And that he experienced symptoms of ecstasy that became manifest in his body. Actually, he was crying and his hairs were standing on end. He experienced Krishna prema, pure love of God. So when I read that, I thought, this is interesting. Prahlad Maharaj freed of all material contamination? Wait a minute. Prahlad Maharaj, he's one of the great Mahajans, one of the great authorities on devotional service. He's our exalted guru. And Bhagavatam said he's becoming freed of all material contamination? You can find it right there in the shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we never think of Prahlad Maharaj as having any material conditioning. So how do we understand, how are we to understand that he became cleansed of material contamination? Well, to appreciate that statement of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can refer to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kandambini, where he discusses, very kindly, the subtle imperfections that exist in the various stages of devotional service up to prema. So first he outlines the whole process of Krishna consciousness. He quotes, I believe, Srila Rupa Goswami. Adoshvadha tata sadhu sangha tabhajana kriya anarta nirviti syat tato nishta ruchish tata atoshakti tato bhavas tata prema yadan chati shishivarlanishvaraki. He said a sense of Krishna consciousness is first aroused in the heart of the candidate through sadhu sangha, through association with devotees. One may have no sense of Krishna consciousness. One may be just a gross materialist, full of material desires and subtle desires as well. But somehow the wonderful process of Krishna consciousness is such that that pilot light, just like you always, although the you turn the heater on, then you turn the heater off. Okay, you turn the heater off, but still, there's a little pilot light that's always burning. It's never that the light actually goes completely out. You turn the heater off, off, O-F-F. But if you know, there's actually inside that heater, there's a little blue flame that's always burning. Never gets extinguished. And you turn it on, starts to burn like that. Then you turn it off, you think, oh, fire's off. No. There's always a little pilot light. We call it in English, pilot light, burning. So in the same way, one's Krishna consciousness can never be really extinguished. When we fall to the material world, we become covered, we become forgetful of Krishna. But that pilot light of love of God is still burning somewhere in the deep chambers of the heart. It never goes out completely. Everyone is an eternal servant of Krishna. It gets covered. So what happens is that when you come into the association of devotees, even unconsciously, you just come into their association, then the fire starts going up. Even without one's desiring it, that is what is meant by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Out of their great compassion, they want to see that fire burning strongly. So they go out, they distribute books, they distribute prasadam, they chant down Oxford Street, even just two or three brahmacharis. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Nama Nama. The holy name goes into the ear and it goes into the heart. And that little pilot light, little blue pilot light, becomes a little orange. Why? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It acts. It's like recently in Russia, I asked one of my disciples how she became a devotee. I said, at what age did she become a devotee? She said, oh, I became a devotee at 7 years old. 7 years old. How did you become a devotee at 7 years old? She's now about 16 or something. She said, oh, I was walking down the street with my mata, holding her hand, and one Sankirtan devotee walked up with Prabhupada's books, and she bought 3 or 4 different books. And she wasn't really interested, she just bought the books somehow or other. She put them on the shelf, and as I grew up as a little girl, I remember always, you know, when you're a little kid, you know every little nook and cranny of your house. You kind of walk, you know, little kids see everything from a different perspective. What the rug like here, what the curtains are like there, what's behind the desk, what's in the shelf. You know, so she said, I knew my apartment backwards and forwards. She said, I was always attracted to that spot where Prabhupada's books were. I'd always open them up and look at the pretty pictures as a little 7-year-old girl, 8-year-old girl. Eventually, when I was around 12 or 13, my intelligence manifested a little bit, and I started going beyond the pictures, and I started reading the translations and the purports. And by the time I was 14 years old, I was completely convinced about Krishna consciousness. And by the time I was 16, I'd read all the books. Then I joined the temple and became a devotee, and she took initiation. So I said, okay, how did you become a devotee? Who made you a devotee? She said, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. So there's an example that pilot light is never extinguished. It's always there. And if we come into the association of the devotees, the flame grows. So ado śraddhā tatā sadhu saṅgha. So the first stage is a devotional service. We come to bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means to take up the regulative process of devotional service. At that stage of Krishna consciousness, we become freed from the gross desires that are there in the heart, lust and anger and greed, to anartha nivritti. Nartha means what is required, what is wanted, and anartha means what is not required. These unwanted things are removed from the heart, cleansed. Chaito darpana marjanam, we're cleansed from the heart. But Śrīla Viṣvanātha Cakravarti Thakura describes that even after anartha nivritti, when all the unwanted things like lust and anger and greed are removed from the heart, he said still some imperfections remain between the stage of anartha nivritti up to prema bhakti. Even in nishta and ruchi, shakti, these very advanced stages which are like light years away for us, we think. Still, there's some between that stage of anartha nivritti and prema bhakti, there's still some subtle imperfections. And he gives an example of in the stage of ruchi. Ruchi means when one develops a great attachment for Krishna. Just imagine that we transfer our attachment from the things of this world to Krishna. Actually, devotees intensely praying like that because it's so hard, because we're so conditioned. For so many millions of lifetimes, we've been attached to things that are not Krishna conscious. Very intensely. So Rupa Goswami prays in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Just to give us an idea of how intense our attraction for Krishna should be, he gives a very nice analogy. He said, in the same way that young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, with the same intensity, my dear Lord, let me be attached to your lotus feet. Now we get an idea what it means to be a devotee. Because we've all experienced material desires. They're very powerful. It is lust only Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. It's a powerful attraction. So difficult to cut that attraction. But we would like to be attracted to Krishna with the same intensity that we see the boys in Oxford Street are attracted to the girls, and at Piccadilly Circus, how the girls are attracted to the boys. Right? We would like to have that attraction to Krishna. So that comes in ruchi. Ruchi means, nishta means you become very steady, not so much, no more affected by the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, even mundane goodness, but eke kuru nandana, be determined, I will become Krishna conscious. Steady. And then ruchi comes, you actually get some taste. which means you don't have to get up for Mangal Arati. You jump out of bed and run down. Well, you take a shower first. Take a quick shower and you run down. No one has to tell you, did you chant your rounds? Did I chant my rounds? I chanted 64 rounds, Prabhu. Like, no one has to tell you to come to prasadam, right? Does anyone have to tell you, force you? Take prasadam. All right. So ruchi is just something like, you know, that we have the same eagerness to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. But ruchi is a stage between anatta nirviti and prema. So what possible subtle contaminations could exist for a devotee who chants Hare Krishna with great eagerness? Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains. Now, of course, these are very subtle, so we can't think of these devotee at that stage like, you know, someone who has gross. This is just very, this is some, the example is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur like camphor. Right? You have a piece of camphor, pujaris will know, a piece of camphor on the table. Camphor is very powerful. You can smell it from a mile away. You put it on the table, then you remove the camphor, but you still smell the camphor. The camphor is removed, but this, you can, this, the flavor is still, there's something there, it's subtle, it's just, you can smell it in the air. So these type of desires, which we're going to explain, these subtle desires, are not like, you know, gross desires. It's just, the gross desires are gone, but the camphor smell is it. There's just some, like Mahaprabhu says, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavicham va jagadisha kamae. Mama janmani janmani shwade bhavatad bhakti. I have no desire to accumulate wealth. I have no desire to enjoy the opposite sex. I have no desire for name and fame. Pratishtha. This could be considered a subtle material desire. It's not gross. You know, gross desire, money, women, like that. Subtle desire may be even after those things are removed. You know, great yogis we see that the gross desires, but they want to be famous. They're not engaged in sex life. They're not engaged in money making. They're okay, with all due respect, but they want to become famous. Even Prabhupada said there's two gross desires which we have to overcome to go all the way back to Godhead. One is to overcome the conception I am the body, and the other is that I am God. Right. So what possibly could remain in the stage between anatta nivriti and prema? What are these, if it's not, you know, these gross desires, and what is that camphor-like smell that's there? So he describes ruchi. He said, ruchi, one develops a taste for the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare. But he said there's two stages to ruchi. One less perfect and one more perfect. You see how nicely he describes it? He doesn't say one imperfect and one perfect, because ruchi is a very advanced stage. So he said there's one less perfect and there's one more perfect. Acharya is a very expert, like Rupa Goswami, how to describe that the residents of Vrindavan are the most exalted devotees. How do you not demean the residents of Dwarka? How do you speak properly as to say that the residents of Vrindavan have the most exalted love for Krishna without, you know, casting any doubt on the residents of Dwarka, who are pure devotees, or the residents of Mathura, who are pure devotees? How do you do that? You have to be Rupa Goswami, and you have to say that the pastimes in Dwarka are perfect, the pastimes in Mathura are more perfect, and the pastimes in Vrindavan are most perfect. Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki. Expert. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, two stages of ruchi. One perfect and one less perfect. So he gives the example. He says, less perfect devotee means, he gives like an example in chanting. Less perfect is when a devotee performs devotional service, like chanting, then all the nice details have to be there for him to be really absorbed. Whereas one who's on the more perfect stage of ruchi, all those fine details don't have to be there. So he gives an example of chanting. He says that one who has that taste of ruchi, who's less perfect, then it has to be a good kirtan leader. Like Kripa Moya has to come in. right? And with the expert mridanga, right, and kartals, and Hari Horai Nama Krishna, whoa! Okay. That has to be there, those nice details for him to get his bhav, to get his taste for the holy name. He's very advanced devotees, but you know, begin, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Right? The one who has who is more perfected in ruchi, it doesn't matter. I won't use any examples here. I don't know, maybe you know somebody who doesn't have that great voice, you know. Hare Krishna! And they play like... Ma Duty's humbly offering himself as an example. Well, the kartals, they can't play. There's some of them who can't even play kartals. You know? Play the kartals. No. You play. You know? You play. No. Tune out a piece of Nietzsche and that. They actually, you know. So if you happen to walk into a kirtan like that, oh. Right? But one who's most perfected in ruchi, he walks in. Doesn't make any difference. Oh, Hari Bol! Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. All he sees is that Krishna is present in the sound of his name. He doesn't think, oh, the chanting is awesome. No. So this is a stage of ruchi. We want less perfect and more perfect. So we can't consider, you know, an imperfect stage of ruchi, but like ordinary contamination, but still it's considered something subtle, imperfect stage of devotional service. Another example he gives is the difference between ruchi and ashakti. In ruchi, he says one's main focus is on the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama. But he said in ashakti, the main focus is Krishna himself, his name, his fame, his form, his pastimes. Ruchi, he realizes the name is non-different, but when one makes ashakti, one comes to a more advanced stage, then he can concentrate on Krishna's pastimes, etc., etc. So one is considered more pure than the other. But again, the imperfections of these higher stages of devotional service can't be compared to the lower stages where a devotee is struggling with lust, or anger, or greed. So like that, we have to assume that Prahlad Maharaj was somewhere there, way up there. Little trace of camphor was still in the heart. Otherwise, why would it say in the Bhagavatam that by the lotus paw, the nails and the furry paw of Lord Narasimhadev, that he became freed from all material contamination? So this is what is meant. Anyway, whatever trace was there, it is not for us to judge, but something, tiny trace. Then, prema bhakti. Of course, Bharat Maharaj's imperfections were of a different nature. They're a little more gross because he became attached to a mundane animal. So Prabhupada points out his fault, that it's not that he was at an immature stage of devotional service, but his fault was that he didn't consult his spiritual master when there was some difficulty there. The point is that we require the help of our spiritual master all the way to prema bhakti and beyond. Not that when one comes to the stage of prema bhakti that one is in ignorance and needs help, the spiritual master destroys his illusion or ignorance, but in the liberated stage, we always remain as the assistant of our spiritual master. We never give up our relationship. We are servant of the servant of the servant. Not like the Mayavadis. One time, Prabhupada was walking with one of his sannyasi disciples, and there was a little hill that Prabhupada had to walk down near in Mayapur. So Prabhupada took the arm of that disciple, and he was walking down. The disciple was very happy. Oh, I'm assisting Guru Maharaj, you know, this is nectar. Prabhupada's grabbing me and helping like that. And at the end, Prabhupada violently threw his arm to the side. Oh, I was very hurt. Prabhupada was, you know, taking my assistance, and then he's throwing my eye. I made some mistake. So Prabhupada said, that is the position of the Mayavadis. If they take guru, But then they think, oh, now I have become God. I don't need guru anymore. Right. Om Narayan. We are all God. So he said, Mayavadis are like that. They take the help of the spiritual master, and when they become God, why do they need guru? So they reject their guru. But Vaishnavas are never like that. Vaishnavas, we take the assistance, we take the help of our spiritual master through all stages of devotional service, and we get to prema bhakti. We don't reject our spiritual master, we become his assistant. By his grace, we are always engaged in the service of Krishna. Krishna is unlimited. His pastimes are unlimited. His service is unlimited. And the spiritual master is always assisting, helping us understand the wonderful glories of the Lord. So we assist him in his service in the spiritual world. So this was Bharat Maharaj's mistake. That there, he was at a very advanced stage of devotional service, but that little camphor was there, the taste of the camphor, some taste was not yet removed. So, but when he got into difficulty, he didn't take the instruction. He didn't take the help of his spiritual master. As a result, he gave up his spiritual practices and he fell down. Most notably, he gave up chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Srila Prabhupada said that out of all the instructions of the spiritual master, he said the most essential instruction is to what? Chant 16 rounds a day. Why? Because this is the Yuga Dharma. Harinam, Harinam, Harinama eva kevalam, Kaluna stevana, 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 steva, gatiranyata. And being the Yuga Dharma, the authorized process for progressing in spiritual life, chanting does two things. Chanting protects us from the influence of the material energy and allows us to become healthy in spiritual life. Just like recently, a young girl was burned in Riga, Latvia. And we went to the hospital to see her, but we couldn't actually get into the room because, you know, there was this whole apparatus protecting her. And I asked the nurse, you know, I can't speak to her. Can you remove that? Oh, no, no, no. She said, at this stage, she has to be protected. This was like this whole plastic sheet around. Because if any germs got in there, she wouldn't be able to recover from her disease. So I thought, yes, Krishna consciousness is like that. We agree at the moment of initiation to follow four regulative principles. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Maybe by being very strict in following these rules and regulations. And chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. We protect ourselves from the influence, the infection of Maya. And as soon as we become lax in following the regulative principles, as soon as we decrease the number of our rounds, then little germ comes in. We become disease. If we stop chanting, then immediately, practically immediately, the effect of the material energy starts working. Just like there's that famous story of that little boy, he discovered the leak in the dike in Holland, and he stuck his finger in the dike, right, to keep the water from coming out. But as soon as he took his finger out, so a devotee has to be that strict in his performance. He has to be that determined in his performance of devotional service. This is the meaning of vow. Dridhavrataha. Vow means that I will not compromise even an inch. And in that way, incubated, like a baby's born prematurely, they put him in an incubator. Completely, completely, you know, aloof from the rest of the world. There's no diseases in it, there's no germs, just completely so he can grow. And then when he's healthy, he comes out of the incubator. So until we come to the stage of prema bhakti, we're like in the incubator of Krishna consciousness. And if we open a little bit, let some air come in or let some contamination come in, we can get this. So a devotee is that determined to always protect himself. Just like Sita Devi. Sita was in the forest and when she requested Lakshman to go help Ramachandra, so Lakshman thought, okay, I'll go, but it's dangerous this for us, so I'll put a protective shield. So he took his sword. Have you seen the Ramayana? Gomandaki, have you ever seen the Ramayana? Shamagori? In the Ramayana, Thakur, he takes a sword and he puts the mystic circle around her. In this way, even the greatest, most powerful Rakshasa of all times, of course, I don't know who gets the award, Ravana or Hiranyakashipu. I think Hiranyakashipu gets the award, because Prahlad Maharaj called his father best of the Asuras. So I guess Ravana wasn't as big a demon as Hiranyakashipu. Oh, best of the Asuras, Prahlad said. Anyway, Ravana was very powerful. He conquered all the worlds. But he couldn't touch a hair on Sita's head. Because although she was a very delicate, fragile princess in a deep, dark forest with prowling animals and the biggest Rakshasa of all times, tender, white-skinned little princess, Ravana couldn't touch her. Because Lakshman had put that mystic circle around her. So in the same way, we may consider ourselves very feeble in our attempt to become Krishna conscious and very susceptible to the powerful material energy. Even Krishna says, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratiya. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is very difficult to overcome, Arjuna. Oh, we're like in that dark jungle fair, little princes, what to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare. Ha ha. If Ravana himself comes, or one of his representatives come, they can just knock on that shield. Let me in. No, no. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, ha 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 ha, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we stop chanting, the protection is gone and we've fallen to illusion. So we should never underestimate this most essential instruction that Srila Prabhupada has given us to chant 16 rounds. These three words, Hare Krishna and Rama, are so powerful. Ajamil, although very fallen, was saved at the last moment of his life by chanting the names of God. Narayan, Narayan! He was a debauchee most of his life. But by chance or good fortune, he chanted Narayan at the last moment, and he only had to take one birth before he became Krishna conscious, right? He took one more birth, he perfected himself and became fully Krishna conscious. But Bharat Maharaj, by giving up the chanting of God's name, he had to take two more births before he became perfected. Ajamil led a life of a debauchee. But somehow or other, well, we know why, because he named his son Narayan. He called out the name of Narayan at the moment of death. And there's Lord Narayan. Ah, yes. Lakshmi's saying, no, he's not calling you, he's calling his son. Is my name Narayan or not? Vishnu Dudas. So he was saved by chanting the name of God at the moment of death. But Bharat Maharaj, he gave up the chanting of God's name, and as a result, he had to take two more births before becoming perfected. So it appears that Ajamil's position, by the mercy of the holy name, was more fortunate than Bharat Maharaj's position, because he took one birth and went back to Godhead. Bharat Maharaj had to take two births. Anyway, so how much more fortunate must be the lives of those who never deviate from their prescribed vows in chanting the holy names of the Lord. How fortunate those devotees must be. So the lives of devotees like Ajamil, Bharat Maharaj must be instructive. Little deviations there, big deviation or little deviation, let it be instructive for all of us so that we can avoid making any mistake. Neither of them went back to Godhead in one life. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at one initiation ceremony, he said to the initiates, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. Wow. How's it possible? Ajamil took one birth, Bharat Maharaj two births, and you know, who are we? But it's possible by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. No matter who we are, if we're faithful to Guru and Krishna, we can make it. Even if we have no material qualifications. Just this one quality, this one quality of having faith. Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru. One who has faith in the instructions of the spiritual master and Krishna. The full purport of Vedic knowledge is revealed to such a devotee. If we're faithful and we're strict, no matter who we are, we can make it back. There was once a great devotee, Sri Dakshinitaya. He prayed, where was the hunter Dharma's piety? Where was Dhruva's maturity? Where was Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sudama Brahman's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? They had none of these things, but the Lord accepted them because Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by any material qualifications or disqualifications. So those are all great devotees, and one can point out their inability to become Krishna conscious, perhaps because of some so-called material imperfection. But rather they had full faith in Guru and Krishna, and they made it. So if we have faith like that, and we follow strictly, especially this instruction, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, then we'll find very quickly that our material desires, both gross, lust, anger, and greed, and the subtle ones, the desire for name and fame, pratishta, whatever else is, that camphor-like smell is left in the heart, whatever those material desires are, they'll gradually go away by the mercy of the holy name. Rupa Goswami also prays, now that we have become your devotees, your holy names have affectionately created a jubilant festival within our mouths. Your bodily splendor, like a dark rain cloud, has become the black ointment of our eyes, and the music of your flute has become the ornament of our ears. We no longer take pleasure in material desires. O Almighty Lord, material desires no longer appear beautiful to us. This is the result of following this authorized process of Krishna consciousness. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shishir Adilana Nishwara ki. Jagannath Subhadra Baladeva ki. Giriraj Maharaj ki. Finishing exactly at 8:30 for the pleasure of Mahaduri Prabhu ki. Gaur Premanandi. I did it. Miracle achieved by your grace. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.